So we're finishing the Sugya of Klirush and Klisheni today with Dover Gush. Tomorrow we're going to do Bishal B'chama. So just like we've had in the past with Yad Nefes Bo, not so much Yad Nefes Bo, with ladles and with Klishlishi, these Sugyas are really not found so much in the Gemara. Klisheni is found in the Gemara, but Klishlishi is really a question about the Svara, whether we extend it to Klishlishi or not. And also with regards to the ladles, it's a question about Misvara, whether we're going to say the ladle is like a klirishin or a klisheni. It's not really found, sources are not found in the Gemara. So too in terms of Davar Gush. Davar Gush is also not found in the Gemara. It's also a sugya which relates to Asur B'chol of Taruves. So it's not so much of a Shabbos sugya. The main sugya comes up in Hilchos Taruves. So you have to know whether we can compare Taruves to Hilchos Shabbos. So the Marshal said, bases it off in Isser Beheter. The Isser Beheter says that a Dover Gush is like a Kli Rishon. So I believe that that's the earliest source, this Isser Beheter, that a Dover Gush is like a Kli Rishon. The Ramah in Tzadi Dalet Zayin is Mekel. In Yerodea, Tzadi Dalet Zayin is Mekel to say that it is not like a Kli Rishon. So that impacts the halachos of Basar B'chalav and Taroves in terms of, let's say, using a dairy spoon with something which is Dover Gush on a klisheni, or cases like that, which we're not really going to get into. But in the end, you have this machlokas between the Ramah and the Marshal, what's the sister Beheter, whether it's Usher, whether it's Mutter. So what exactly is this machlokas? We'll get into how we pass it in a minute, but what exactly is the machlokas? Why would you assume that Dover Gush is like a Kli Rishon? Why would you assume that it's like a klisheni? So we know that Tosos and Melman Bey explain what's the difference between a Kli Rishon and a klisheni. The difference is that a Kli Rishon, the walls remain hot, and by a klisheni, the walls don't remain hot. The walls are cold, so therefore, it's going to cool off the food. So we had two different explanations in Tosos, whether Tosos meant in Mitzias, therefore the food is going to be colder, less than Yad Letzbo by a klisheni, but with regards to Kli Rishon, it's going to remain hot, so it'll remain Yad Letzbo, whether we're discussing the Derech HaBishal. Since the walls remain hot, so therefore the Derech HaBishal is to cook in a Kli Rishon, as opposed to a klisheni, where the walls cool down, they cool down the food, so therefore it's not the Derech HaBishal to cook in a klisheni. Those are the two ways that we understood Tosos. And so with regards to a Dover Gush, you sort of have an in-between case, because the walls are not retaining the heat of the food. The food is not being surrounded, the solid is not being surrounded by the walls. So there are no walls to heat it up, like a Kli Rishon, but we also, it's a middle case, because the walls are not cooling it down either. The walls don't cool down because it's not really being surrounded by walls. So it's really a middle case. You don't have, it's neither like a Kli Rishon, nor is it like a klisheni. By a Kli Rishon, the walls of the Kli Rishon are heating up the liquid, and by a klisheni, the walls of the klisheni are cooling it down. So it's neither like a Kli Rishon nor like a klisheni. So the question is, what is its status? So the Isser Beheter says that it is like a Kli Rishon, because really what differentiates a klisheni from a Kli Rishon is the fact that the klisheni, the walls cool it down. By klisheni, the walls cool it down. By a Dover Gush, you don't have that. The walls are not cooling it down, so therefore it has the status of a Kli Rishon. That's what the Isser Beheter says. The Aruch HaShulchan, in bending the Ramah, even though he says we should be Machmir, but the Aruch HaShulchan also in Yeradeh, Tzadi Dal Alam Beis, so he says the opposite Sfar to defend the Ramah. He says, the Iker Chamimos HaKli Rishon Hu Al Yedei Defanos Shel HaKli. The reason why a Kli Rishon is a Kli Rishon is because the walls of the Kli heat up the food, or heat up the liquid. V'lachen gam begush came to lek at the defanos HaKli, ein lazed din Kli Rishon. But with regards to Dover Gush, where there are no walls at all, so there are no walls to heat up that solid, so therefore it won't have a din of a Kli Rishon. It'll only have a din of a Kli Sheni. So that seems to be the machlokas, how to understand a Dover Gush. Whether it's like a Kli Rishon or a Kli Sheni, is the Iker, the fact that the Kli Rishon is different than Kli Sheni because the Kli Rishon, the walls heat up the food, or is the Kli Rishon different from a Kli Sheni because the Kli Sheni, the walls cool it down, but it's not the fact that the Kli Rishon heats up the food. And so you'll have this Nafkamina in the middle case of a Dvar Gush where you don't really have any walls there at all. Okay, so we pointed out that the Ramah in Tzadi Dalet Zayin is Mekel. The Taz there also, on the Ramah, in Tzadi Dalet Yud Zayin, the Ramah is in Zayin, the Taz is in Tzadi Dalet Yud Zayin, so he is also Mekel. happens to be that he's machmir in this one unique case that has to do with Hilchos Tarovis of Duchu de Sakina, but we're not going to get into that because that's really a Tarovis issue. In terms of Shabbos, in terms of Bishol, so the Taz would be Mekel with regards to the Vargush. And the Shach over there is machmir. Based on the Marashal, he's machmir. Unless, and this was also pointed out by the Aruch HaShulchan, unless there is Rotav around it. If there's sauce around it, so the sauce is essentially the same thing as the walls. Just like if walls were to cool down the food, so therefore everyone agrees it has the status of a klisheni, so too if there was sauce around the piece of meat, so then that would also cool down the piece of meat and would have the status of a klisheni according to the Shach. The Aruch HaShulchan also quoted such a shita. So it seems to be, if you just had the halachos in the poskim in Yeridaya on the Shulchan Aruch, it seems that you'd be mekel because you have the Ramah and the Taz were mekel and you have the Shach who's machmir. But when it comes to Hilchos Shabbos, it seems as though the Magen Avraham and the Mishneh Berurah, they're both machmir for this. The Magen Avraham is in Shin Yoches Mem Hei, so he says also explicitly that a Devar Gush is like a Kli Rishon, so he's machmir that it is viewed as cooking within Devar Gush. And the Mishneh Berurah in two places, also in Shin Yoches Mem Hei. So he says also to be machmir. He says V'kol shekein lefi mishenogim litin ha-betzalim l'toch ha-tavshil shu devar gush, that which the minhag is, the custom is to put onions into the tavshil, into the food which is devar gush, which is a salad, devada yesh li zar b'zeh, you should be careful not to do this. The yesh poskim shesovim devar gush emunach v'kli sheni dino kikli rishon. He says because there are poskim, Mishneh Berurah admits that this is a machlokas, but he says that it's better to be machmir. There are poskim who say that the devar gush has the status of a kli rishon, so you should be machmir. He also says this in samachay, shin yilches samachay. He says in munach b'kli sheni devar gush ayad so lettuce bow yesh dizar b'zeh. Again, the same thing. Diyesh poskim. There are poskim, not everybody, but there are poskim shesorim devar gush kol zman sheyad so lettuce bow dino kli rishon. As long as it is yad so lettuce bow, so then it will have the status of a kli rishon. Just important to point out that the Chavos Das, who comments on the Shulchan Aruch in Yeridaya, Tzadi Beis Chav Zayin, in Yeridaya Tzadi Beis Chav Zayin, so he says, he's the one that says that you could differentiate between Hilchos Tarovas and Hilchos Shabbos. He says this whole discussion that's going on, he's arguing on the Magen Avraham and Mishneh Berurah clearly, but this whole discussion of the Ramah and the Shach and the Taz and Hilchos Yeridaya, that's all limited to Hilchos Yeridaya. That's all limited to Tarovis. Why? Because Tarovis is a discussion of transferring of blios, transferring of milchiks and fleishiks, of kosher and not kosher, within the pot. So that's not about defining what is cooking. That's not about defining what is bishel. That's just about mavli of a poli, about what transfers, what goes out of the pot, what goes into the pot, which is a totally different discussion, or somewhat of a different discussion than bishel. And the whole Shabbos issue is an issue of bishul. So the Chavos Das says that you can't, that whole discussion, the Ramah, the Shach, the Taz there, that whole source of the Isser B'Heter, that's all dealing with an issue within Basar B'Chalav, and we can't extend that to bishul on Shabbos. That's clearly against the Magen Avraham and Mishneh Berurah here, where they do extend it. They are learning about the Devar Gush, and the whole source comes from over there with regards to the Hilchos Basar B'Chalav. The Aruch HaShulchan in Sadi Dalai Lama Beis, so he quotes all these various shitas. He quotes every shita that's out there. It's a good source to have. In the end of the day, he also mentions this rotav, this sauce heter. He says that those are mekel with regards to the sauce, that if there's sauce there, so then that's essentially the same as the walls. But in the end, he says, Bavade nochon lahachmer kidei azu. It's better to be machmer for Dvar Gosh, he says. Sheish b'zeh svar nechonam, because there's a good svar for it. But he says, I'm not b'zeh merubo, b'diyeved kedai hu rabbeinu harama lismachalav. He says, b'diyeved, you could rely on the Ramah. And not only that, he goes on to say how he brings a proof from the Yerushalmi, because the Yerushalmi has this whole discussion, which we've discussed in the past, not this Yerushalmi, but we've had this chakir in the past, with regards to what the difference is between a kli rishon and a kli sheni, is about the metzias, or it's about the derech. So the Yerushalmi discusses that also. The Yerushalmi tries to bring a proof that we see that it's not about the Metzias, Because the Yerushalmi says that we see from rice and from beans that when you transfer it from a kli rishon to a kli sheni, rice and beans, which are a dvar gush, they're a solid. So the Gemara tries to prove over there that we see that it remains, it stays hot, it stays as yad soled as bo. So we see from here that it's not about the metzias, because it remains hot. So we see from rice and beans that when you pour from kli rishon to kli sheni, that it's not about the metzias. So the Aruch HaShulchan says, we see from here that what are they trying to bring a proof from? They're bringing a proof from a case of rice and beans. Rice and beans are a dvar gush. They're solids. So if solids are an exception to the rule, so then you can't bring a proof from an exception to the rule. You're trying to bring proof to me what the difference is between a kli rishon and a kli sheni from an exception. Dvar gush is an exception. So it must be that dvar gush is not an exception. Like the Ramah, that dvar gush is really like anything else. And whatever would change from a kli rishon to a kli sheni, the same thing would apply with regards to the dvar gush. So the Aruch HaShulchan even brings a raya to the Ramah from the Yerushalmi. But in the end, he does say, Bevadai nachon lahachmir. So how do our modern day poskim paskim with regards to this? So the Shmir Shabbos is machmir. And Aleph Samach Dalet. Aleph Samach Dalet, he is machmir. He says it's var yavish abba begushim, like tepuch adama, potatoes, itach basar. If it's yad saladis, well, you have to be machmir that it's like a kli rishon, even if it's in a kli shlishi, you have to assume that it's like a kli rishon. He says, therefore, don't pour any liquids into it, and you can't put spices into a salad that's yet still yad saladis, well, and you can't. He also says that you can't put butter onto a hot potato, which we'll get to in a second. But he does say, even if you're machmir, but he says the following cases are mutter. Salt is mutter because it's ready. Nowadays it's cooked. It's different than the melech of the Gemara. And he also says ketchup is also mutter. And that's ha'ara reish, which we've seen in the past, which Shlomo Zalman says that ketchup is, even though it's cold, he really views it as a davar yavish against Rav Moshe. He thinks it's a davar yavish, and one of his reasons that he gives is because there's no difference. People have it whether it's cold or hot. They would have the ketchup whether it's cold or hot. And so Rabbi Stein yesterday wanted to prove from this Rav Shlomo Zalman that the hagdara of bishul is really about what you want to use it for. That if you want to use it for something which is hot, like chulent, you only eat it when it's hot. So then part of the definition of bishul is that it is hot. So if it would be cold, even though it's a solid, so then it would be usher, suggested Rabbi Stein, to heat it up on Shabbos if it became cold. So he gets this from Rav Shlomo Zalman. Rav Shlomo Zalman says ketchup, which is really a liquid, but still, even though it's a liquid, the fact that it's cold is meaningless, even though in general, a cold liquid, we would say yesh bishul acha bishul for Rav Shlomo Zalman. But over here, where you have a cold liquid, since you eat ketchup, you have ketchup while it's still cold, so therefore a cold liquid is still defined as something which is cooked. It's still defined as bishul, even though in general cold liquids are not bishul because you usually have them when they're hot, or they're fundamentally different when they're hot, but with regards to ketchup, where it's not fundamentally different, whether it's hot or cold, so therefore it's still defined as bishul. That was his, one of his proofs was from this Rav Shlomo Zalman here. So at the end of the day, Rav Shlomo Zalman says that, yeah? What? Yeah, I mean, that's the second point. I mean, assuming that it's still lach, you would still have this other point. He does say, anyways, it's not lach also. But in terms of that second point alone, assuming that it is lach, so then you'd have this other heter. But in the end of the day, with regards to putting ketchup, we assume that ketchup is cooked, even though it's cold and potentially liquid. Rav Shlomo Zalman says that it doesn't make a difference. It's defined as cooked, and therefore that you would be able to put on a dvar gush. You'd be allowed to put ketchup and salt on a dvar gush, even though we're machmer, to assume that it's like a kli rishon. Fine. Rav Shlomo Zalman also says that you cannot put butter on a hot potato. And the Ha'ara Kuf Tzad Yithes, we also dealt with in the past. He says that it's a Dvar Gush. And he says, don't tell me that we have a heter here of Ein Bishul Achar Bishul with the butter, because at a certain point in time in the process, the butter is a cold liquid. So since at a certain point in time it became a cold liquid, so therefore it lost its shem bishul. This is all in the footnote there in Kuf Tzad Yichas. So therefore really butter is not defined as something which is cooked, and so therefore it would be usur to put butter on a hot potato. That's what the footnote says, because butter is not cooked, so therefore to put on a hot potato, which is a dvar gush, which is, we view it as a kli rishon, would be usur according to Rav Shlomo Zalman. So at the time also, when we dealt with this, we pointed out that Rav Moshe argues. This is Rav Moshe and Rav Chaim, Dalet Ayin, Dalet Vav. So he assumes that it does retain its shem bishul, because when it became cold, so it was already a solid. And a cold solid is still defined as something which is cooked. So Rav Moshe assumed that it was, that it is viewed as a solid, and we at the time, I'm not going to get into it now, but at the time we tried to explain the machlokas between Rav Shlomo Zalman and Rav Moshe, that it doesn't have to be a machlokas in Metzias, and we explained it at the time, Ayin Shom. But Rav Moshe, therefore, he is mekel, even though it's a dvar gush, he is mekel because it's something which is very cooked, so therefore it's equivalent to anything else which is cooked like salt, so therefore you would be able to put butter on a hot potato. That's machlokas Rav Moshe and Rav Shlomo Zalman. In terms of other practical cases, so if you have meat which is surrounded by sauce, which often happens in a shalant, or knedlich, which is in soup, so you have what to rely on because of the shach and the arach ha-shulchan. They both pointed out that if you have sauce surrounding it, so then obviously it depends on how much sauce is there. If it's a very small amount, so then this wouldn't apply. But if you have a decent amount of sauce there, so then you would have a heter because those could act as the walls. They're equivalent to the walls, and they would cool down the piece of meat. They would cool down the knedlich. So therefore, you have what to rely on in terms of that. The dvar gush anyway is a chumra, and you have the shach and the arach ha-shulchan who quote opinions that with the sauce, there's room to be mekel. Okay, in terms of ketchup on meat, gravy and ketchup on meat, so we already saw that Rav Shlomo Zalman was mekel in terms of the ketchup because he assumed that it was cooked. Rav Moshe is also mekel. This is found in Dalet Ayin Dalet, in Aruch Ayin Dalet Ayin Dalet Bishal Hay. Rav Moshe is also mekel, but not because he thinks ketchup is defined as cooked. He thinks ketchup is really like a liquid. So therefore, we should have the principle of the Ramah that if it's nitzan in legamri, you should be machmer. But Rav Moshe, he says 2 points. Why? The only way to be machmer here is if you combine 2 points. A is dvar gush, that to put ketchup on meat is a chumrah of dvar gush, which is not so pashit. And B, l'shitaso, for Rav Moshe, he says that Ramah is that it's not like he really holds yesh bishal achar bishal b'davar lach. He really holds in bishal achar bishal, according to Rav Moshe. So since Rav Moshe says that the whole pshat in the Ramah is anyways in bishal achar bishal, and the whole thing of being machmer when it's cold is just a chumrah bi'alma, when it's a san legamri, that's just a chumrah bi'alma, but really we hold in bishal achar bishal, so putting the two together, where they're both chumras, so therefore he says we could be mekel even if it's a cold liquid. A cold liquid on a dvar gush, he says you could be mekel, because the Ramah anyways is a chumra, and dvar gush is a chumra, so therefore you could be mekel. I thought based on this, so then, in terms of the case of the butter on the hot potato, so Rav Moshe goes on and he discusses how the butter is really defined as something which is cooked. So I thought that even if it wasn't defined as something which is cooked, let's say it was a cold liquid, so it's no worse than ketchup. Let's say the butter was a cold liquid. So the cold liquid now is like ketchup. By ketchup, he said that we could be mekel anyways, because when it's a cold liquid, the only reason to be machmir is if you combine two chumras. So he says he could be mekel, because it's dvar gush and it's ein bishal achar bishal. So he says by ketchup, we could be mekel. So if you mekel by ketchup, even though he defines that as a liquid, then I thought that anyways, even if Rav Moshe did have the same exact metzias as Rav Shlomo Zalman, and it held exactly like Rav Shlomo Zalman that the butter at one point in time was a cold liquid, so then I thought anyways, you could be mekel, because for Rav Moshe, we won't combine these two chumras. We wouldn't say ein bishal achar bishal and dvar gush. He's not willing to have the chumra of the Ramah and dvar gush, so I thought anyways, you could be mekel for other reasons. Rav Moshe doesn't say that, because he thinks it's cooked. But even if it were not to be cooked, even if you assume like Rav Shlomo Zalman, it's possible Rav Moshe would still be mekel, according to what he said with regards to the ketchup. Two more cases and then we'll stop. Putting chillant on a plate which already has crumbs on it. You had bread at your table, there's a few crumbs on the plate, so now could you put chillant onto your plate? Because it's dvar gush. and you are now cooking it. So I didn't see this inside, but Rav Shlomo Zalman is apparently makel, because he says there are three reasons that you have to combine. He says, first of all, this is a case of bishul acharafia. We're dealing with breadcrumbs, which is already baked. So now to put a dvar gush on the breadcrumbs would be bishul acharafia, and your machmer for a dvar gush. That's the second chumra you'd have to include in this. And he says, anyways, you're not machavin for cooking. When you put it onto the plate, your kavanah is not to cook the bread. The kavanah is just, your plate is a little dirty and you want to put food on your plate. So he says your kavanah is not to cook. So based on those three reasons, you have these two chumras of bishul acharafia and dvar gush, and included with that is that you're not machavin, your kavanah is not to cook, so therefore he said you could be makel and put in terms of putting chulent on a plate with crumbs. And finally, the last case is putting salad on top of chulent, or let's say a pickle on a hot kugel. You have a hot kugel, you got some lettuce bow to put any sort of salad, let's say a pickle or salad, on the chulent or kugel. So again, Rav Shlomo Zalman is mikel because it's a dvar gush, and he says you're not mechavin, your kavana is not to cook it. But Rav Yashiv is apparently machmir in such cases, and therefore Rav Yashiv says you would have to wait for the chulent and the hot kugel to go below yad seletus bo. It would have to be, the temperature would have to be below yad seletus bo. So those are the cases of dvar gush, and tomorrow we will deal with our last sugya, bishul b'chamah.